so welcome back to another episode of the Just Our Look podcast. I am your host, Key, and today I am with Francesca, who's already making me laugh. Thank you.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm lovely. You know, another day of working past my designated time, but that's okay. Hashtag teamwork. Hashtag... collaboration, whatever, I guess.
They'll remember it when it's time for the performance review. Don't you worry.
Better. I have one actually scheduled in 2 weeks. And my manager was like, hey, just putting this in your calendar, very informal. We'll just talk about your progress. And I'm like, yeah, my progress better be stellar because the way I stress over the wording of my emails, I think I deserve some recognition. Ugh. But anyways, that's enough about me. We're here to talk about you, Francesca. You know, what, where did you go? You know, what did you graduate with? Where did you come from? Let's dig in.
Okay. Well, I came from San Diego, California. So definitely a bit different than I moved to New Jersey.
Just a tad.
For school, I went to Seton Hall, and I got stuck with this crazy roommate second semester freshman year. Wild.
Very much.
And I kind of built a life here in New Jersey. I got a job. I joined organizations. I made friends. And I think that kind of kept me to stay. I definitely didn't have the intention of staying in New Jersey after I moved here for school. Like, freshman year, I was like, I'm going to transfer out. This place sucks.
Yeah.
And then I joined a bunch of stuff and kind of felt like, okay, maybe it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up staying the full 4 years without – I did not have the intention that after – the end of senior year, I would still live in New Jersey, but then, like, the world ended, and it was kind of like, wherever there's a job, that's where I'm gonna be.
Love that. So, you went to school for what?
I went to school for psychology and criminal justice, and that is what I graduated with. Amazing. A dual major.
Did you enjoy that entire process? I mean, obviously, being your roommate, I know that there were times you did not, but... you know, what was it that you were like, wow, psychology and criminal justice, this is for me, freshman year, compared to, like, you know, what you know now, having graduated?
Right. So, freshman year, I was convinced I was going to be, like, the show Criminal Minds, absolutely convinced that was real life and that it would work out. Mm-hmm. And then I took some psychology courses, which sucked because it felt like it just was a repeat of high school and what I had already learned, and I wasn't doing anything interesting.
Right.
So that was kind of boring. And at the time, criminal justice was my minor. So then sophomore year, I took some more criminal justice classes, fell in love with them, and was like, this is what I want to do. And then, like, looking at the career field of criminal justice, I knew that that might not be what I'm looking for.
So, it's, like, typically just going into law enforcement.
Yeah, usually law enforcement or, like, nonprofit work.
Yeah.
So I did an internship my junior year. I did an internship at a nonprofit trying to see if, like, maybe that was something I was willing to consider. Mm-hmm. It's not, but I thought about it. And
it's the thought that counts.
I had a great time working at the nonprofit. Like, it was so much fun, but I definitely saw a lot of structural issues that, you know, are just inherent to being a nonprofit that I knew I didn't want to have to worry about those things, because my intention is to, like, start low at a company but not stay low. Would love to grow.
You would like and to move up.
But then those kinds of structural problems become your problem when you're at the top. So I knew that that wasn't something I was interested in. And then it was like, now it's too late to quit psychology. I'm already this far in, might as well just stick it out.
Right.
And then senior year, I actually really did enjoy my psychology major. I learned a lot about people, a lot about actually applying it to the real world. So that was fun. And then now, especially, I do see little bits and pieces of psych stuff coming up all over the place.
Wow. Don't you love it when, like, something you learn from class actually is applied in the real world? And you're like, oh, I am knowledgeable on this.
Yes, I did learn something. That's crazy.
A game changer. Yes. I mean, I guess what education is for, but up until college, I was like...
Correct.
Linear equations. I'm never doing this in my life.
Correct. Yep.
So, in the process of you trying to figure out what the heck you were doing with a subject you, like, kind of liked, but, like, was losing interest in versus something you were really passionate about, did you have an original, like, set career goal?
I mean, once I realized that Criminal Minds wasn't realistic, I kind of felt a little, like, floating in the water, not really sure what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then I think as a society, we really put this, like, if you go to law school, you'll be successful. So I was like, well, my whole life, people have been telling me this is a good idea. Maybe I should do this.
Right.
So then I kind of bit off way more than I could chew. I was involved in way too many things, taking a full load of classes and studying for the LSAT and working pretty much full time. So there was a lot happening, but I studied for and took the LSAT, did horribly. And then
what is that like? Like, we know what I can kind of conceptualize, like, a GRE, I assume it is to be like an SAT, but like college version. So like an LSAT, are you supposed to be learning these law terms, things?
So, not really. Okay. An LSAT is not the way that a GRE is testing, like, do you know how to do this math problem? Mm-hmm. Do you know what these vocab words mean? The LSAT is not like that. Mm-hmm. It's reading comprehension and, like, skills in that area. And then the other big component of it is logic games, mm-hmm. which are, like, the worst of the worst of word problems in middle school math.
Oh, no.
Like, extra rough. And then the test is designed for you to fail and not finish the entire test in the amount of time that's allotted. So you're rushing against the clock.
Why am I paying to take something that is supposed to help determine my future, but yet it's also supposed to make me fail?
Yes. And then everybody who you ever speak to all says that the LSAT does not at all indicate how well you're going to do in law school. Similar to what they say with the SAT.
True.
And how well you're going to do in college. It's the same thing.
Right.
So after spending all the time and money thinking that I was going to be a lawyer, and so I took the LSAT. I was actually working in a law firm at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, this is going to be a great resume booster, a good intro into the field.
Right.
And in that experience, I learned not only do I not want to go to law school, I don't want to be an attorney. So not doing well on the LSAT actually kind of helped out with that.
And this is your junior year?
This was really junior year into senior year. Okay. Yeah, like the fall of senior year. And so after I did poorly on the LSAT the first time, I kind of panicked and was like, that's it. I'm never going to get into law school. I have no idea what I'm going to do after graduation, and hit absolute panic mode because there's all or nothing with me. So I panicked, and one of the people that I was working with at the time actually told me, you know, okay, so if you find out that, you know, you're not going to go to law school, but you're going to have another job, whatever that may be, you know, but that things are going to be fine, how devastating is this to you? And it really opened my eyes that, like, if I didn't go to law school, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Yeah. I would still be fine. I'd still have a job. I'd still live the life that I was expecting, because I definitely don't have a specific career in mind, but I have a specific lifestyle in mind. Like, I want to be the PTA mom. I want to be the one who picks up all the kids from soccer practice. Mm-hmm. I know that that's what I want. So I can't have a job that has me working until 9 o'clock at night every night.
Yeah.
I just know that that's not me.
And, you know, if you watch How to Get Away with Murder, Annalise Keating was working morning to night.
Absolutely. I also don't want my husband to potentially be involved with the murder.
That too. I have still yet to find someone in law school. Like you can be like, meet someone in, like, med school / nursing, be like, Grey's Anatomy thoughts, you know? But, like, I have yet to meet someone that was not, like, How to Get Away with Murder. Are you crying and stressed all the time in law school? I feel like that's an accurate representation. But also, let me know.
Yes, I agree. And having seen different people come into the law firm that I was working at. I was there for about 2 years. And I saw people come in and out that were law students or going to be law students mm-hmm. that were absolutely like crying and stressed all the time. Mm-mm. Absolutely. Mm-mm.
And even people who choose to go through law school and then not specifically use their law degree and like whatever career path they end in, I'm like, when did you know?
Right. Which
that
is
you
hard.
Weren't gonna use this hard 3 years, blood, sweat, and tears. Like, would you have done that again? That is so interesting.
Absolutely. There was actually an attorney at the law firm I was at who was an attorney for 2 years and then said, never mind, I don't want to do this anymore, and left the entire field of law. Not just, oh, I don't want to work at this law firm. Like, I don't want to be an attorney.
That's so scary.
Yep. After all that student debt, all that time, so all the stress. Nope.
I can't compute having the time to like have a life epiphany or like, you know, quarter life crisis, let alone like I just did something that costs all this money. And then I'm like, oh, no, this wasn't for me. Don't know why I did that. Oh, well, moving on.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So realize law school is not for you. Being a lawyer was not the plan. But you also didn't have a specific career in mind. What was like, well, I mean, obviously we didn't know a pandemic was happening, but like approaching your idea of like what job hunting prospects would be like specifically after you graduated college, like, did you still feel pressured and rushed to be like, oh yes, I have a job and this is what I'll be doing?
Absolutely. I definitely felt like I had to have it figured out, that like the clock was ticking to May 1st or whenever graduation was, and I had to have it figured out by then, or like the world was going to explode.
Right.
I think specifically it really felt like I had to have it figured out by the time my lease ended, because senior year, my parents were still helping me with the cost of the lease. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that stopped the day of graduation. Right. And so I needed to figure something out, or the option was to move back home, which was not an option.
Right.
So I needed to figure something out by then, which I think was part of why it was so stressful. I don't think I came to the realization that law school was just absolutely not going to work. I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll work for a year mm-hmm. and then go to law school. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really came to that realization that law school was probably not in the cards for me at all until like October of 2020. But March of 2020, when we were approaching the pandemic and we all thought it was going to be 2 weeks, I still thought, okay, well, maybe law school in fall of 2020 isn't going to work, but maybe fall of 2021, mm-hmm. this could still be an option. Maybe I take a gap year, be a paralegal, work, get some life experience, and then go back to school. But then come October of 2020, with everything that was happening, I knew a lot of student debt for no job security didn't sound great.
No. Because then even after you do your LSATs, and you get into law school, then you have to do the bar.
Yes, a 3-day exam, depending on what state you're in.
Exactly. Depending on the state you're in. And as someone being, I mean, I guess you knew by then you'd be staying in New Jersey for X amount of time. But like, still the idea of having to go through that again in the case you wanted to move out of the state. Like, I see how it's necessary, but also, how can we limit stress and anxiety?
Yes, exactly. So I think once I had, when the pandemic hit, was kind of over spring break, and I had chosen not to go home to California at that point for spring break, that I was just going to stay and work, and then I was going to line up my spring break to go home like 3 weeks later or something, so that it aligned with my sister's spring break, because I was taking mostly online classes anyways that semester, so it really didn't impact my schedule too much. But then COVID hit, the flight got canceled, no one could go anywhere, but my job still kept me. They were like, okay, you're in the beginning, the plan was you'll be the only one in the office with like the team, like the leadership team, and then you to kind of run around and make copies and get the mail and those kinds of things, which made sense. I was definitely bottom of the food chain at the time. And then I did that for about a week, and then we realized that this wasn't just 2 weeks somebody had a cough. This was way more than that. And then I got sent home to work remotely, which was great, especially since I was doing school at the same time. This allowed me to work pretty much an entire work week. I was doing it, you know, 45 hours a week plus school. So that ended up working out in terms of money. Probably not the best choice I could have made for my mental health.
Yeah. But especially, and that's the thing about, like, not to be like taking advantage of the young college hardworking students, but it's like bills, even as adults, like bills in general. I do not want to, I don't want to have to sit here and be like, okay, working 60 hours, multiply that by how much I'm getting paid. How much in taxes do I think they're going to take out? Like, that is not, it does not work for me personally, you know. Mm-hmm. If other people can do it, that's great. But like, even being in school and like not having bills, I was like, oh, not working this many hours this week, guess I can't frivolously spend my money on food, you know?
Right.
But like, now being a real adult, I'm like, ugh, hitting under my hours, we cannot do that. No.
Yep. So it definitely, I would agree. I think there was a lot at the time going on, a lot to be thankful for when so many people were out of work, right? Like, mm-hmm. the summer of 2020, once graduation happened, I went back into the office full time. It was just like the two most senior people and myself. And I was there all the time, every day, which definitely was very taxing. So by the fall, I was,
you hit a wall.
Yep, absolutely. But I think at the time, I felt lucky to have a job. And I think that's kind of what kept being like, I have to get up and go to work. You know, yes, it sucks. I don't want to go to work. Of course, everybody feels that way. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, well, lucky me, I still have a job. And so many people don't. So I should be so thankful. I shouldn't complain about going to work or having long hours or whatever the situation. But I think that the people who were working, especially in those couple of months, were so overworked and expected to juggle all the new responsibilities for the people who were no longer working there, and all the fact that like the world's falling apart, but it's fine, still go to work.
Right.
And then still getting paid the same amount. Like, I didn't get any hazard pay, anything. So to have all of these new things thrown on there was quite a shock.
Yeah, because like, you, if you're already a naturally a hardworking person, not even hardworking, you know, people pleasing, X, Y, and Z, it's like, okay, I'm going to do my job. But now it's like, okay, I need to do my job, but also how do I process that the world is ending? But also how do I process that I just graduated and it does not feel like I graduated, you know?
Yep.
This isn't. And I think that's what's like trying to explain this like to my mom when I was living at home. I was just like, I am sad. Everything is desolate. The world is ending. And my hopes and dreams of freaking working in capitalism, making money, you know, it's like, what am I supposed to do with this right now? Mm-hmm. How am I, everything I thought I should strive for after school is like, that's not really happening. And we don't have an answer when it'll not happen. So whatever.
Yeah.
So did you feel like you got any sympathy? I mean, does sympathy exist in the workplace? I feel like it should. But like, were people like, wow, you know, at least validation, like, wow, Fran, thank you so much for, you know, really just doing it.
No, I did not. I actually have recently changed jobs, totally changed fields, industries, the whole nine. Once I realized that being an attorney wasn't for me, I was like, all right, bye.
Why be at a law firm?
So when I left, I actually had an exit meeting with some of the leadership team, and we talked about that. And I had said, you know, I did not feel as though there was any, you know, not that I expected to get, you know, a $10,000 pay raise because of it, mm-hmm. but I thought, you know, hey, you've been working real hard the last 8 months, being the only person in the office coordinating everything for everybody working remotely. Why don't you take Friday off? Like something like that.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we'll comp your lunch, something. And there was nothing. And there was just an expectation that it would continue to happen. So luckily, I do appreciate that they allowed me to go home during mm-hmm. the holidays back to California, since I hadn't been home in an entire year, mm-hmm. which was definitely different than like 6 trips home a year in college. So they allowed me to go home for the holidays, Thanksgiving through Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I knew that when I went home that I was not intending to continue to work there anymore. And I was looking for a new role at that point. Once they had given me the go ahead, I mm-hmm. said, all right, open up that LinkedIn account. Right. Let's start finding something.
So what was job hunting like? Especially knowing that, like, you didn't, you know, you knew a law firm was just not it for you. So, like, how did you feel like you were navigating, like, oh, this sounds interesting, let me apply and, like, see what happens?
Right. So at the time, I was looking for anything that had less hours paid the same. Yeah. Like, those were the requirements. So ideally, something that let me work from home, being so mm-hmm. close to New York City, a lot of jobs were like, you can come into the city, which definitely made me nervous. Mm-hmm. So I think that eventually became a requirement, but I knew that like beggars can't be choosers. So right. you just take
one
what there is.
Not.
So I just kind of looked for things that I knew that I could do. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of abandoned the idea of law. And so could I have worked in a law firm? Yes. I didn't want to, mm-hmm. but I was still applying to those jobs thinking,
you have experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That this would be another job that I work at 1-2 years. And then when COVID's a little more settled down, there's a likely prospect of grad school, or if mm-hmm. I did choose to go to law school, whatever that looked like, you know, then we'd kind of figure out at that point. But that, you know, just didn't end up happening. I was applying to roles, literally anything from like a hospitality to like, there was one job that I applied to that was literally working in a hospital. I was like, these people need people, they'll hire me.
Right.
So just a wide, wide range. And I know that my skills are definitely people, like working with people.
Yeah.
And organization, for sure. Those are my strong suits. And I really enjoy event planning. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of looking for something in that industry, knowing that events was definitely not going to be a super robust industry in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, but I actually was able to find a role that's doing a lot of virtual events. Mm-hmm. So it all worked out.
So now being at your new job, what was like that interview process like? Because, you know, there are some places that are just like, okay, 3 interviews and then we'll let you know. Or, you know, they'll freaking 5+ meet everyone on the team, waste all of their time, you know?
Absolutely. It was interesting. So my interview for the specific company that I'm at now, I actually interviewed for them in October, like right when I knew that I was not going to be coming back after the holidays. Mm-hmm. I started applying to anything and everything, and they just happened to come up on my LinkedIn. I applied, and I had a first round interview with, at the time, I thought he was just a recruiter. I've since learned he's the head of their HR department.
Oh.
But yeah, so I had an interview with him.
Lovely.
He was great, but he also ghosted me. And after, you know, I sent him a thank you email, of course. And then he said, you're welcome, you'll hear back soon. And then like 3.5 weeks went by and crickets.
You're like, so let's define soon, because maybe we're getting mixed dates.
Yes.
Here. When I hear soon, I'm thinking a week.
Max not, 2.
Right. Not going towards a month. That's not mm-hmm. soon. That's later.
So I reached out to him, and then he told me the position had been filled.
Oh, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. So I, you know, was very polite, because you never know. You never, ever, ever know. And proof, a couple months later, he reached out to me and said, hey, there's been another opening and another position. I kept your resume on file. I really thought you were a great candidate. It just, unfortunately, we didn't connect on that particular position.
Right.
But we're thinking about this one what do you think? And it ended up working out, and that's the role that I'm in now. So he actually reached out to me, and then we did 3 interviews, and then they offered me the role. But it was a quick turnaround. Like, I did 3 interviews in a week and then was offered the job on Friday.
Yeah. For the agency I work at now, I did like a 3-hour, a 3-hour long interview. Because the way they do it is like panels. So you talk to 4 people for 30 minutes. And then that was a Friday. And then we were like, and it was also approaching freaking, what's it called? Thanksgiving break, I think.
Okay.
So I think previously sent my resume. The HR lady was like, hey, I just want to give you more details. Also, this is when we plan to interview. What are your thoughts? And I said, obviously. Yes, let's do this. So interviewed Friday. Obviously, I felt like I killed it. They were like, we'll let you know before Thanksgiving, which was 3 days later, given the weekend. And I was like, oh, absolutely. And then 3 days later, they were like, we don't like to offer you the position. I was like, yes, please, thank you. I can no longer work at the wax center, okay? It was my time to go.
Yep. Yep.
But before that, my biggest prospect was also a nonprofit. And I literally interviewed with like all of the digital team over the freaking course of a month, just for them to be like, oh my gosh, we loved you so much. Unfortunately, you know, we had to give it to somebody else. And I was like, well, I can't sound bitter in this thank you email, I guess, but thanks.
Yep. I actually, during my interview process, looking for jobs, I interviewed for a bank that actually told me, which I absolutely have no background in banking of any kind, but they told me at the end of the interview, I was interviewing with 3 people. They told me that they loved me. They thought I was great. They felt like I was going to be a great fit for the role. Mm-hmm. Just a few little odds and ends to pick up on their side, and they would get back to me in a week. And then I was completely ghosted. And then when I reached out to be like, hey, just wondering what's going on, mm-hmm. no response.
I don't understand. Okay, no. I do, you know, you're busy. There's probably multiple things you need to like connect with people on, schedules, calendars, blah, blah, blah. But like, not only did we interview, but I sent you a thank you. I wanted you to remember. And you ghosted me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a cute little Word document where you're just like, oh, sorry, we didn't offer it to somebody else. That you just can't copy and paste?
Yeah.
CC everyone? Like, is it so hard to... I mean, if I worked in HR, I would hate telling people that they didn't get a job. / getting fired. But also, it's my job.
Right. That's also part of the role.
You know, don't want to shit on anybody who works in HR, I guess. You might be stressed and busy. But also, people have feelings.
Absolutely. I think that when I was working at the law firm, I worked under the, operations side. Absolutely, since I didn't have a law degree. So I worked kind of more on that side. And so I saw some of their processes for HR.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that they didn't send rejection emails, or even after they had an interview with somebody, not just receiving your resume into like the ZipRecruiter database, mm-hmm. where you can easily click a button to send a deny.
Yeah.
Not only did they not do that, but mm-hmm. when they would have interviews with people, and the interview process there was significantly more involved. It involved like a test and several hours, almost an entire day. So mm-hmm. it was a lot more involved. People would still give them that time, and they wouldn't even send a thanks so much, but it's just not going to work out. There was nothing. It would be that you just weren't scheduled for a third interview. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe we're too empathetic. Maybe we care too much about other people's feelings. That we want to say, hey girl, sir, ma'am, person, let me know. Because mm-hmm. even in college, for an internship, I got ghosted. And that was my first time like that's ever happened. And I was like, wow, so weird. And I connected with that HR lady on LinkedIn. So I know she's active. That was the first time it happened. I was like, maybe, you know, people are just strange. I don't know. Whatever. And obviously, I have been proven wrong. Everyone apparently has the same practices. And I think we need to talk to someone. I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
It's definitely interesting. I think after getting ghosted after an interview feels a little more personal.
Yeah.
Just sending in my resume, like, I didn't do that much research on your company to send in my resume, if I'm going to be really honest. So, you not replying back to that, like, it sucks, of course. I prefer to get some sort of generic, hey, it's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically after I've spent time and I, like, know your face and know your name, sent you a thank you email, connected with you on LinkedIn, whatever, then it would be nice to at least receive some form of, this isn't going
to
work.
Yeah, like, I had to sit here and come up with a strength and a weakness and explain why. I had to sit here and come up with an answer to, if you were in a car, what part would you be?
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, I've gotten those. If anybody ever gets those, definitely say the brake, because that was my answer. And you can just be like, you know, I think it's really important that there are times where you just need to either stop or slow down and really assess the situation. The first time I said that, I literally pulled it out of my ass, because why would you ask me what part of the car?
Yes.
Still triggered. But wow. Yeah, if just a tool if anybody ever encounters odd interviewing questions. But so now this is your first week at your new...
Yes, this is my first week. We are just a few days in.
So freshly into the new world of virtual event planning.
Yes.
Which sounds exciting.
Oh, it absolutely is. There's definitely a lot more involved. Not just like click the Zoom link and you're in. It's definitely way more involved. A lot of recording and like video editing, which isn't necessarily my strong suit. So kind of taking a little bit of a refresher course on that, you know, watching some YouTube videos, whatever.
Love YouTube University.
kind of keep up with that. But they do plan to go back to live events, which will be really fun when the time comes.
Yeah. And especially like just to scale to like later have in the future, because I mean, who wants to be like, just in case there's another pandemic, but why not have the skill of like, yes, I can do in person, but I can also do, I can make this nice itinerary. We're going to stick to the time and then you'll get a nice recording of it later. Thank you.
I also think that moving forward, there's going to be a lot of changes overall, right? Like, I think that there will never be an expectation that if you have a cold, you should still come to work. Like, no one wants your nasty germs. But I think there's going to be a lot of changes specifically for virtual stuff, because there's such an accessibility for people when things are virtual in terms of events. So the things that I'm working on range from all different kinds of stuff, but a lot of it is conferences for working professionals. And so there's a lot of people who are, I don't know, busy working.
Yeah.
So to take days off, get on a plane, fly to wherever the conference is, whatever the meeting is, whatever, and then worry about hotel, planes, food, all of that, and taking the days off work. You know, a lot of people aren't really into that, especially when they can sit at home on their living room floor and do all the same things.
Unless they're dying to like socialize at their, you know, insert here convention conference center.
Right.
But yeah, no, that definitely, the world, the time is changing, you know? I never thought I should wear a face mask in the grocery store, but you know what? Why wouldn't I?
Correct. Yes. I don't know that there are going to be times that I, like, I don't know, don't get on a plane where you're breathing the same air as everybody else for however many hours.
Right.
I will probably never get on a plane again without wearing a mask.
Like, in hindsight, these things really do make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it took an airborne virus, you know, bacteria, whatever this stupid thing is, to open our eyes.
Yep.
So now knowing, you know, already coming to the conclusion law school is not for you, did you ever briefly think about grad school in general? just, you know, because there are people I feel like who are so used to school, but then right now we're also being very much like, getting a master's will increase your pay. You know, getting a master's is going to automatically move you up in this, insert here, you know, career field. So has that kind of like pressure or focus ever crossed your mind?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when I was applying to jobs, there were a lot of jobs, specifically like rotational positions, which I knew was definitely like a great thing to snag at the time, because then I knew that that would give me something to do for 2 years, roughly, right? Or a year, however long, rather than, oh, cool, the company could close tomorrow and I would lose my job, right? So I knew that something kind of like a rotational program in a much larger company was what I wanted, but a lot of them did require a master's degree or at least to be like a master's candidate. So a lot of them specifically were an MBA focus. So I definitely considered the idea. It's not off the table. I kind of needed to get out of my previous role, find something else, get settled in that first before wanting to sign up for school. But it's definitely still in the wings. I would consider doing an MBA program or potentially, because there is such an interest in specific psych fields, kind of like an industrial organizational psych degree. Yeah, something a little more like company slash people focused. My interest in serial killers isn't gone, but I just don't think that I have the guts to sit there in front of somebody and be like, this is okay, let me ask you questions.
That's what the podcasts are for. And I have a lot of recommendations. You know, that's what the Netflix documentaries are for.
Yes, yes. The comfort and safety of my own home. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
So I think that I know that a criminal justice master's is not for me. There were definitely people in my classes who were pursuing that back in second semester of senior year. And I knew that that wasn't for me. And I think it depends upon the field in psychology. Like, I know I don't want to be a clinical psychologist. I know I don't want to be like a school psychologist. So I think that narrows down the fields of what would be interesting. And I think an MBA is just such a broad stroke that, you know, if you walk out into the workforce and say, I have an MBA, likely they're going to be like, oh, we know what that means. So you've got this basic skill set. Cool. We'll hire you.
Yeah. And I think even like psychology people, you know, like that's a nice broad-ish background where you can still do a lot of things and like it be applicable. Also living in a world where like the industry we're in, how many people actually went to school for that major? It's still hitting me, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Hindsight's 2020. Things they don't tell you in college. You can rush to have a major and a minor. But then guess what? You probably still might end up somewhere where you didn't need that major or minor.
Yep.
How rude.
Yep. I think the best option would have been to do more internships. Like, I wish that I had done more. I ended up staying at that nonprofit for 2 semesters. And then I ended up working at the law firm the summer between my junior and senior year and then all of senior year. And I wish that I had taken the time to kind of branch out and do more internships. Honestly, like freshman year, because if I had done an internship for, you know, let's say business, maybe I would have been like, just kidding. Now I want to be in the business school.
This is true.
We don't know. I think having those kinds of like, maybe not an entire internship, because like if I walked into an internship and they expected me to know how to do something on Excel and I didn't, I'd feel like an idiot. So maybe more of like a kind of like career day, but at these specific kinds of businesses, right? So like if I were to walk into something that's specific to like the business school, okay, is this interesting to me? Yes, maybe let's pursue this further.
Yeah, we don't have the, like, once we put ourselves in a hole, because we're told to put ourselves in a hole, it's kind of hard to, like, even think about something else, you know? Why did I want to change my major junior year, only to realize, oh, that'll mean more school. Okay, just kidding, I take it back. Never mind.
Yep. And I think being a double major, I was already on a crunch time schedule. Like, I took summer courses so that I would be able to graduate in 4 years.
Yeah.
So to then abandon that, to even think about something outside of that, would have meant more school, more classes, more money. And I just was like, never mind. I'd rather just stay in the hole that I dug when I was 18 to then not have to worry about adding more to plea.
So stupid.
Yes, why, definitely.
We need to change these things. How? I don't know. you have a psychology degree, so...
Oh, so it means I'm just going to fix
what
it.
What did you learn about behaviors and stuff? Do you know how to change and reorganize societies? Let me know.
Oh, yeah, just the whole thing, start to finish.
Just casual things.
It starts with labeling, really. It's just putting things in piles and labeling. That's really going to be the thing that solves it all.
Be like, let's normalize. let's normalize the stop to label every single thing we have to do.
Yep.
But, I mean, you're also talking to someone who's like, why do we need capitalism? Why can't we just barter? You know? So, it depends. It depends when I want to label things and when I don't. But here we are. So, last question. We're going on a year. And you were miserable at your last job. Also school. How did you feel like this all affected your mental health? Or maybe did you not think about your mental health because you were just like, I need to keep going. Don't have time to stop. There's no time to stop in the planner for today. And how did you, and do you even have any like self-care things that make you feel like a regular human?
So I definitely relied on other human interaction to feel like a regular human pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how important my routine of like, all right, get up and, you know, take a shower, get ready, you know, look good before you leave the house, go do, you know, classes all day, club events, whatever the situation was, and then come back and, you know, eat dinner, watch a movie, whatever the situation was, right? So I didn't realize how important that routine had become to me until I couldn't do it anymore, which I think was the same for a lot of people. So then the beginning of the pandemic, it was kind of like, oh, this is fun. I don't have to go to class. I can sit here and do puzzles. I can watch TV, bake some bread, you know, just these
the quarantine activities. Face. Oh my God.
I really thought that that was going to be the extent of the pandemic. I thought it was going to continue to be fun. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, I wasn't too worried about my mental health. But then as I realized that I wasn't getting the opportunity to go home to California, that definitely took a toll.
Yeah.
And then actually during COVID, I moved in with my boyfriend and like we moved into an apartment together, which was obviously a big shock for anybody non-pandemic times, and then add in a pandemic on top of it. And I've, you know, found that I guess you're not the only person that I can live with, but that was a shock. So I think that definitely took a toll on my mental health to change my routine so drastically. Mm-hmm. So there was a time where I was like, this is fine. This isn't going to be bad for me. And then it was like, you can't even go outside and walk at the park because it's that bad out. Like breathing the outside air is wrong.
Scared of oxygen.
Yes. And I think that really started to hit. Not being able to go home started to hit. And then when I went back into the office working full time every day, like we're talking 50 plus hours a week, that really was the last straw. So for a while, it was like, just shut down, just block it out. Don't think about how bad it is. Mm-hmm. Don't focus on the negative. Try to think of the positive. And then I was reaching a point where like, I couldn't even come up with 5 things that made me happy.
Right.
Like, oh, can you think of 5 things that, you know, make you smile, make you laugh, something you're looking forward to? No. Like, I literally could not. I guess I was looking forward to coming home and going to bed because then the day would be over, but then I still have to wake up and do tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that sucked. I would definitely say that I have been in the worst mental health space in the last year. The end of the summer and the fall of last year was probably the worst that I had been So then when I was allowed to go home to San Diego, it kind of was like, just hang on until then.
Yeah. That when you go home, to hit a milestone, a time. Exactly. Because otherwise I'm sitting here doing the same thing every day. Even if you're not working, you know.
Right.
When it was fun to do nothing, I get cabin fever so easily. I was like, I can only skateboard down my street, paint every pair of jeans I have, and read any book I can get from Barnes & Noble until I just can't anymore, you know?
Right, exactly. I had hit that wall, that mental point where, you know, I was absolutely having breakdowns. In October, I was having a breakdown almost every day. I was absolutely hysterically crying to and from work every day, calling my mom, and was a blubbering mess. Like, it was just, it was definitely bad.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, hang on until you can get home. Then I went home, like, experienced sunshine, got to see my family, got to see my dog, had a little bit of a different schedule, something new, more than just four walls to look at. And I think COVID felt different in California than it did in New Jersey. So it was a little bit more like, okay, you can like walk around. I had a backyard that I could sit in, which was better than like my apartment building balcony. So
grass to touch your feet, your skin.
Yes, it was better then. And then coming back in January, I knew that I was going to be leaving the job that I had at the time. So that kind of gave me something a little more to look forward to. So I would definitely say that my mental health wasn't great. There was a lot of times of if I just ignore it, maybe it'll go away.
But it did not.
It did not. And then I reached an absolute breaking point, and then started to kind of come up with things that are going to make me feel better, whether that's like doing a face mask or going for a walk outside or, you know, reading a book, which I think having the time to do those things makes a big difference. And then I started to, the planner in me took over and started to come up with things to plan for. So I can roughly assume that by October of 2021, it'll be safe to breathe the air outside. So I can, you know, kind of plan some trips to figure out some things, especially trips back to San Diego, because I know that I'm leaving like one safe bubble to another safe bubble.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's things like people are getting engaged left and right. So there's a bunch of weddings and stuff.
I mean, you have more friends currently going through this now, but even like in this, just like seeing other people like at work and people are like, oh yeah, finally got engaged. I'm like, wow, this is technically something that happens.
Yes, and it's positive now. Like when someone gets engaged now or somebody gets pregnant now, it's like, oh, congratulations, not, oh my God, did you hear?
Yeah, and it's like, oh wait, we are in our 20s and have finished getting a degree. So this is on people's agendas. Interesting. Okay, we're keeping up.
Yes. So I think having, you know, people's weddings and stuff that I definitely am involved in, love planning.
So exciting.
So, you know, that's 2022. If COVID is not better by 2022, that's just it. That's over. I don't care. Give it to me. I'm going outside.
At this point, it's like, well, at least I have a vaccine.
Yes.
At least I can kind of, like, feel comfortable.
Right.
And especially know that I won't die because this is what the vaccine was for.
Right. And being, I know it's not 100% effective, right? But being able to branch out more than just like the people that I live with or see every day.
Yeah.
You know, there's friends that I haven't seen since graduation, right? That would be lovely to see. So I think, you know, that kind of branches out knowing that, okay, so I'm fully vaccinated, you're fully vaccinated. We can go get lunch outside without me being panicked the whole time and then like not leaving my house for 2 weeks to make sure that there's nothing wrong.
Yes. Oh, the whole, okay, so I'm going to choose to go out and do outdoor dining this weekend. And then the next time I make plans to like do something else, it'll be 2 weeks just in case.
You know? Yep. Just to feel extra comfortable.
Just want to make sure.
Yes. Yes. I also haven't been to the city since probably January of 2020. So having some fun city trips will be exciting as well.
Oh, heck. Oh, yes. even just to, I mean, I feel comfortable on public transit, specifically the subway, but once again, other people do not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, Francesca, this has been a very riveting conversation. Very fun. Really enjoyed hearing about your story, especially because, like, not to be like, let's normalize changing our minds, but, like, you know, sometimes people don't talk about changing your minds, and sometimes it's okay to freaking change your mind, especially when we're told we're gonna do this and we're gonna do it forever and you're gonna love it, you know?
Right. I think there opened up a lot of availability to change your mind when COVID hit. I think there was a little bit more of a normality that, oh, it's okay that you didn't immediately go to grad school. It's okay that you changed your mind a little bit. Especially when I told people, like, I don't want to get a bunch of student debt just to not have a job. Everyone was like, this makes a lot of sense because I'm currently struggling to pay my mortgage, right? So, like, mm-hmm. Would be great to not have student loans.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me. I appreciate you so much.
Of course. Of course.
All right.